No, I'm just teasing, but anyway, we're looking forward to it. All right, Luke chapter 18. You should have it in your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book, New Testament. Shall we stand together? We just read one verse tonight and get right into this lesson. Again, remember, this is a discipleship training lesson. We're calling it First Steps. And so I'm going to kind of teach it to you just like I would probably teach it if I were teaching it to somebody else, all right? Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Thank you, and you may be seated. You know, in this verse, God teaches us, without a doubt, the most important, really, the most important truth about life. It's about communication. Probably the biggest breakdown that relationships have is communication. And also, to keep this in mind, there is no good relationship without good communication. You gotta have it. You can't get around it. You know, it doesn't work like the man told his wife when he got married on his wedding day. He said, "Just let you know I love you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know." It doesn't work like that. You know, there has to be a communication. There has to be a regular communication. And as you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God has established a way to communicate with Him. In fact, it's very vital in your relationship with Him. God loves our communication, and it's done through what we call the vehicle of prayer. And we go directly to Him. Now, what the misunderstanding about prayer is this. A lot of people believe that you have to have magical words to pray. Some type of, maybe you gotta say the right things to activate God to do something for you. When I was a teenager growing up in our church, I can remember we had different men in our church would stand up and pray. And back in those days, prayer meeting was different than it is today. Back in those days, if you called on a man to pray, it could be 15 minutes standing there while he prays. I remember we had one guy, I just remember him. His name was Bill Bartlett, I think it was his last name. I believe it was Bartlett. I remember as a teenager standing there at 15 years old when the preacher would say, "Brother Bill, will you close us in prayer?" And I'm thinking, I'm sitting down then. And Bill could pray very well. He was really good. He could use the words, and he could use put the words all together and make them sound really good and all of that. But, you know, while God honored, I'm sure, his prayers, I'm not saying anything bad about Bill. All I'm saying is this: you don't have to pray like Bill to be able to talk to God. You don't have to have expert words. You don't have to have these, you know, doctrinal, theological words to see God do something in your life. And what happens is that the devil comes sometimes to new Christians and new believers and say, "Well, you know, I heard Pastor pray the other day, or I heard one of the men in the church pray the other day, and man, I couldn't pray like that." And because you can't pray like that, sometimes the devil will say, "Then that means you can't pray." And that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe you can't pray. But I want to help you today in this lesson. This lesson I've entitled, "How Do I Talk to God?" How do I do that? One man said, "Though a man shall have all knowledge about prayer, and though he understands all mysteries about prayer, unless he prays, he will never learn to pray." So in other words, you can have it and have all the knowledge about it. You can read all the books you want on it. But the bottom line is, the way to get it is to do it. It's it. That's that simple. How did Bill learn to pray like that? How does anyone learn to pray? I mean, yes, you could read books on it. You could even sit down and write out a prayer. You could read the Puritans on it. And the Puritans were expert in that, and I've read several of their books on prayer. But prayer is something that you just learn by doing. Prayer is not something that comes naturally with the daily grind of life. Therefore, we must set aside a time in our schedule for prayer. That means we turn off our cell phone, we turn off our television, we turn off our radio, we don't answer our emails, we just simply pray. That's what it means. I have on my computer, one of the things I have is I have something that's really annoying. I turn it all off except on my computer, but it's this little alert. Every time an email comes in, it goes, beep. And it drives me nuts because, you know, like I'm wondering, okay, is there someone, what are they trying to get me to, you know. And so what I do now is I just cut off all forms. I don't want to hear about that. Because I don't want the email to tell me when to check it. I tell it when I'm going to check it. So that I could do my business. And one of the jobs as a believer is we need to turn everything off because God is more important than my emails. God's more important than my cell phone calls. God's more important than any of those things. My appointment with Him is very, very important. And so that's what this is about. Prayer is the means by which, as a Christian, I can grow in my relationship with my Savior. That's what it means. Prayer is the way in which I enjoy friendship with God. And I can talk to Him about everything. Since communication is a two-way street, this means that God speaks to me through His Word and only through His Word, and I speak to God through prayer. While God has never audibly spoken to me, and if He did, I would probably still be running. God never speaks that way. He did, but He doesn't today. God may speak to me through impressions in my heart. And what I mean by that is when I go to God in prayer, and I may be talking to God about something, or I may be dealing with things in my communication with God. God might impress on my heart something that I know it is God that speaks to me, either through His Word. And one of the ways in which I've learned this is that when I'm talking to God, I'm letting God talk to me. So a good way in communication is like, when it's my wife and I, when we sit down and we have good communication, what I do is she talks and I talk. She talks and I talk. And since communication is a two-way street, I'll read God's Word and then I'll talk to God and then I'll read God's Word and then I'll talk to God. And so that's how the communication works. You see, the problem is like, a lot of people, and remember we learned last week that our foundation of everything that we do is the Word of God. A lot of people think that prayer is totally separate from reading my Bible, when in essence, it is intricately interwoven. You know, I want to read the Bible, and as God speaks to me, oh Lord, thank you for that. I didn't realize that. You know, that's something in my life I need to deal with. And you know, and Lord, I'm thankful that you reminded me of that. And Lord, oh yes, you tell me I'm to pray in your name. And yes, I understand that. And you ask me, you tell me I'm to pray in faith, believing. And so Lord, thank you for that good reminder of that. And you know, as I'm talking to God and God's talking to me, that develops and grows my relationship to Him. And so that's important. Very, very important. He will oftentimes speak through these impressions as He impresses something in my heart while I'm reading His Word. Now, what's interesting is we need to know what kinds of prayers. There's some types of prayers the Bible speaks about. So when we use the Word and talk about prayer, there are some things or names or words used for prayer that we might need to know. Number one is prayer is a general term, which means nothing more than gently talking or simply talking to God regarding life and personal matters. So I may go to God and I may say, God, you know, I really didn't like that this happened. And Lord, it really bothers me. And Lord, help me to understand. I may tell God that. Or I may go to God and say, you know, Lord, as I'm here today, as I'm before you, I'm burdened about things, and I don't know how to handle those. I may just talk to God directly that way. That's general about talking to God, generally speaking. That's the general term for prayer. So we hear the word prayer, a lot of times that's how we think of it, the general term for prayer. Then there's other types of prayer in the Bible. There's, for example, intercession. Intercession means that I'm praying in behalf of somebody else about their need. So somebody else may have a need. I may have my friend come to me and say, can you pray with me about this particular need that I have? Or can you pray with me about, I'm having a health issue and I need your prayers about that. We do that at our church. We have on a Wednesday night, I'm talking to them as if they're outside. On a Wednesday night, we have a list of folks who ask for intercessory prayer. They're asking for us to share with them in prayer over particular needs. This is not strange. The Bible mentions it. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, I put it in your notes there. If you notice, it says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So we have here the term intercession. It's referring to that when we go to God, we go to God on behalf of somebody else. And I'm sure that you probably have had people come to you, maybe even since you've just been saved, and ask you to pray for them. Or we have heard people say, you know, pray for the family. They just lost a loved one, or whatever the case is. So that's intercession. There's another word used in the Bible, and it's used just in, we just looked at it a little bit earlier, it's supplication. Supplication is a begging or a pleading with God for a particular need or burden. You ever have any burdens like that? You ever have anything that you're just really, that's heavy on your heart? And the only person that can really take care of that need is God? That's supplication. And God speaks of that, and when we beg God, we need to go to God, we beg God. Beg God for the particular burden that's on our heart. And so that's supplication. But then there's one more type of prayer, and of course there are others I'm sure that we can look at in Scripture, but these are just the general ones. There's confession. In my estimation, this one is probably the one that's most misunderstood. We discussed that in our lessons a little bit earlier. But confession is when we go to God and ask God's forgiveness for our wrong. It's when we admit we have done wrong. And all of us do that. In fact, confession should be a major part of the beginning of our prayers, is confessing to God. And the Bible says that we're to go to Him. 1 John 1:9, and that verse is written there for you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's sort of like, the fact is that I'm just simply going to God admitting that I've done wrong. You ever do wrong? Do you do wrong every day? Sure you do. But the truth of the matter is, if we want to stay right with God, we need to confess our sins to God. And if we want God to hear our prayers, we start off our prayer life with a confession to God as we come to Him. We give Him praise and we confess our sins. You may say, why? Because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And if I'm going to pray, I want God to hear me. So I want to make sure that I'm confessing right away, right up front, so when I go to God, I'm right with God from the start. That's important. And that part of these four types is very, very important. Keep this in mind. When you go to pray, you may do all four of these in your prayers. You may have a portion of your prayer where you start off and you confess, like I said. You may have some where you just go and you're just begging God for a particular burden or need on your heart. You may find yourself also that with in your prayers that there are other people that you are burdened for and you're praying about. Maybe someone who is not a Christian and you're praying for them to be saved. Or maybe someone who has an illness, maybe a family member, someone who's going through a hard time. They need your prayer. So that's what this, you may use all of these, but just for you to know and understand that prayer takes on not just simply just a thought of talking to God, but it also encompasses a lot more of your life. So that's why it's key to get an understanding of the types of prayers. And when you read the Bible, you're going to find that these types of prayers are all throughout the Bible. You'll see them, and you'll begin to understand a little bit better what they're doing. Now the question comes in then, how do we pray? Remember what I said, you pray, and if you're going to learn to pray, you learn by doing. But there are some things that we do know the Bible teaches. First of all, we should pray in Jesus' name. Pray in Jesus' name. I had a man tell me this one time. He says, he says, why do we pray in Jesus' name? Well, I just want to remind you that we pray in Jesus' name is because if we're going to go to God in prayer, we don't go in our own authority, we go in the authority of Jesus Christ. That's how I'm able to approach God. I go with His authority. And go in His name. It's sort of like, and the easiest way that we understand it today is, if a person gives you a blank check with their signature and you can fill in the amount, wouldn't that be nice? And you go to the bank, and in their authority, you can go to the bank and get whatever it is that they have in the bank. Whatever amount you put in. But with Jesus Christ, you go in behalf of His name to God the Father, because in Him, the Bible says that He owns everything. That He's the all-powerful God. So I'm able to go because I have the authority of Jesus Christ. I can approach in His authority. The Bible says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, according to John 14:13, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. Another key principle in prayer is that we do not use repetitions or vain repetitions. Matthew 6, Jesus taught, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now this is why I told you in the beginning that you don't have to have big words in order to be effective in your prayer life. See, sometimes I think people get caught up in that. And there's a real danger that we can get certain phraseologies that we use in our prayers that are repetition and we don't realize it. I remember we had a man in our church, and I was a teenager still trying to learn all these things, and I'm still trying to learn them all, even now. But I remember that he would pray, our Heavenly Father, and every other word was our Heavenly Father, become a catchphrase. Now, is there anything wrong with using the term our Heavenly Father? Absolutely not. That's what the Lord taught us. We pray that way. But just be careful that you don't use catchphrases or get caught up in vain repetition, as if to say, like the more I use this phrase or the more I use this wording, the more I can get God to hear me. That was the problem that Jesus was addressing. No, we just talk to God. We just go to Him. And we talk to Him. And we just bear our hearts to Him. That's what He says. We go in Jesus' name. We don't use vain repetition. We don't use regular phraseology and just kind of reuse those over and over again. And then lastly, as we pray with gratitude in our hearts. Every time I go to God, I think I should always be thankful for the fact that I have a God that's there to hear me. That He's listening to what I have to say. And that He doesn't grow weary, like I was saying earlier, of our request. In fact, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, there's that word again, with thanksgiving, let your request be made, made known unto God. So I go to God with thanksgiving, gratitude. I just want to bare my soul to Him. So here's some practical tips to help us. First of all, have a particular time each day that we pray. Something I learned is if I don't make time, there'll be no time. If I don't make time, there will be no time. I promise you. There are always things that we need to be doing. So I want to make sure that I make a particular time, whether it's, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4:30, whatever it is for you. Make it a particular time and stick with it. And I realize that maybe on Saturday, which is maybe a different from a work day, you may move that back. You know, if you pray at 5 o'clock, you may pray at 7 o'clock or whatever the case is. But have a particular time each day. Number two, have a quiet place. Make sure it's a quiet place. Don't have a place where, you know, there's a lot of activity, it's easy to be distracted. Because something I have found about prayer is that prayer can, you can be easily distracted during prayer. You can be. I remember when I was younger that I used to hear these, that the only thing that the devil fears is a bended knee or something like that. That when you go and pray that the devil will flee because you're in prayer. Don't believe that. In fact, the devil seems to come the most when I go to pray. He's going to give me 1,000 reasons why I shouldn't be wasting my time praying. He's really good at reminding me of all the things. In fact, if you ever done this, if you ever said, you know, I came out here to do something, I don't remember what it is, you start praying, the devil reminds you. It's just the way it is. He's really good at that. When I go to pray, he'll say, you know, you got to take care of this, you need to take care of that, you need to write this, you need to get this, send this email, call this person, you know, write this letter, write this note, you know. And so all of these things you start, you know, but the truth of the matter is, don't listen to it, start, just get it out of your mind. Just ignore all that. Have a quiet place where it just can be you and God. And I'm going to tell you something, the more you get focused on God, the less you'll be focused on those things around you. That's why a quiet place is important. Number three, and here's the key to help you with that, have a prayer list. A prayer list. I'm a believer in that. I just think you ought to have a prayer list. I like having a prayer list, and I think you pray over those in that way. On Wednesday night in our church, we always have a bulletin with a prayer list, and there are ample things in our prayer bulletin we can pray over. You may take some of these and put them on your personal list or whatever it is. It's great to have a prayer list. And then fourthly, have a heart of faith believing in God. If we pray and believe God will do it, that's what God says is a key ingredient in getting our prayers answered. Faith believing. Believe God. We believe that God will. And by the way, don't we pray tonight, church, and believe that God will? Amen. I mean, why pray if we don't believe that? I was just reading this past week about Peter. How that Peter was in prison and the church was back praying for him. And how that, you know, they were begging God to release him. And here Peter was standing outside the door where they were having their prayer meeting, knocking to come in. And the maid goes to the door and she comes back in and tells the church that during the prayer meeting time, Peter's standing outside and they said, "You must be mad. We're in here praying for him." That tells us something about our prayer. Sometimes I wonder if maybe even when our faith is so weak in prayer, God still answers our prayer in spite of ourselves. But God wants us to pray faith believing. Imagine if they would have just had more faith to believe. So prayer is simply talking or asking God for things, or asking God or talking with God for whatever is on our heart. Many try to complicate it rather than do it. This should be a daily normal occurrence for every believer. It's good to begin the day and to end the day in prayer. There is never a bad time to pray. Someone asked me, should you pray in the morning? Yes. Should you pray in the afternoon? Yes. Should you pray in the evening? Yes. Should you pray at night? Yes. There is never a bad time to pray. David said in Psalm 55, evening and morning and at noon will I cry unto God. it's always a good time to pray. In fact, it's never a bad time for you and I to pray. There's some verses that the Bible says about prayer, just some general verses. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the one we just read. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. By the way, it's much easier to faint than it is to pray. And 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And in Jeremiah 33:3, which is one of my personal favorites, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. When I read that verse the first time, I realized what God was saying. God says, you know what? I have some answers that are so big you won't even think about asking for them if you just pray. That's pretty big. Now let's go back and look just at the beginning, if you would, before we go into our questions. Look at the very first page there at the top for the memory verse. The memory verse is a great verse to memorize to help us about prayer. Because there, the Lord teaches us about how this prayer works. And he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And you know, I used to confuse this verse about, you know, what do I ask or seek or knock? Which one is it? Do I knock, ask, seek? Do I seek, knock, ask? I was all confused about it until I realized that God actually gave me the answer with the very first word. Because if you look at the word ask is completed out in the verse. Look at this verse again, would you? A, ask and it shall be given unto you. S, seek and ye shall find. K, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So what's the secret then to prayer? Ask. God spells it out for us. God shows us what he wants. And that's why this memory verse is so good, because many times people don't ask, they don't seek, they don't knock. They ignore that. You know what they do? They faint. God says we ought not to faint. All right, let's go down and look at our questions and see if we can answer some of those tonight. And just take a few minutes and read through them, and then we'll try to answer them. The best way to learn to pray, to do it, to just simply pray. That's the best way. Number two, if prayer is one way to communicate with God, how does God communicate with us? Through His Word, that is correct. And when we look at His Word, oftentimes that's when the impressions in the heart will come, and we can call that conviction, or we may even call that encouragement. So I don't want to use it all about conviction. It could be encouragement, it could be peace or whatever. Number three, what is the type of prayer when we pray in behalf of another? Intercession. Number four, what is the type of prayer where we beg or plead with God? Supplication, correct. Number five, in whose name do we pray? In Jesus' name. Number six, why do we use Jesus' name? It's His authority, that is correct. It's because of His authority. And in our world today, there are a lot of people who are trying to eliminate the name Jesus out of prayer. I know that recently the Supreme Court passed a ruling now that it is now considered legal in a public place for prayer to be given in behalf of Jesus' name. It is not a violation of church and state. Thank God for that. By the way, in our city, both our mayors and chief of police have received copies of that legal legislation. So if they were to ever come and want to say something, I've got the documentation for it. So that's just good to know. Number seven, prayer is simply blank to God. Talking to God, right. And number eight, how does God say we should pray in Philippians 4:6? With thanksgiving, right, with thanksgiving. We always want to go to God with thanksgiving. Now, at this point, let me stop here and ask you a question. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? I will tell you this, that no Christian will ever be any stronger than his prayer life. You cannot be any stronger than your prayer life. It has been said, much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no prayer, no power. And that may be the reason why many of us are defeating our Christian life, is because we have no prayer life at all. That may be the reason why that we have so many struggles and problems in our life, is because we just don't pray at all. We want everyone else to pray for us. We love for intercessory prayer when we're the ones that are sharing the burdens, but how few of us really pray. And I must be honest with you, church, tonight, and I'm not mad, I'm just telling you the fact. I must be honest, sometimes I'm a little burdened when we leave and I see that the Wednesday's bulletins are still sitting on the pew. You know what that just tells me? Whoever sat there, they didn't even have enough concern to take that home and pray for their Christian family that they sit next to in the pew for. And that's sad. That's really sad. Because that should be something that every one of us in here, that should be the number one thing that we're concerned about. We all need intercessory prayer, don't we? I need you to pray for me. And some of you certainly need us to pray for you. But you can't rely always on the pastor only to pray. I hope that the pastor prays. I do. And I take what you ask me to pray about. And I've got others that ask me to pray about our community, places like that, burdens I have with me personally, my family, other things we pray about. But I must tell you that that's not just for the pastor, that's for all of us to share in our prayer time. We all need to pray for each other. And I'm going to tell you, if there's ever a time when we need to pray, it's now. It is now. We certainly do. We need to pray for protection. We need to pray for safety. We need to pray for security. We need to pray for God to provide our needs as a church and you as individuals. And some of you are facing job losses or have lost your job. Some of you are facing health issues. Some of you have marital issues, other problems, other things, without me getting into that and sharing that with the church. But you understand what I'm talking about. We need to pray for each other. And I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen if you're just sitting around thinking, well, one day when I'm able to, I'll do it. No, sir, you got to do it today. You got to start right now. You got to get real serious right now. Because I always think of it this way, the longer I'm not praying, that much closer the devil's getting to me. That's the way I see it. If we're not praying as we should, I'm going to tell you this, we're not growing as we should. I can assure you that. So tonight, if I can challenge you as people who are disciples, and I'm going to tell you, it takes a lot to come out on a Wednesday night, and I think you're probably the cream of the cream of the crop when it comes to Christians in our community. It takes a lot to be out on a Wednesday night and come out here for this. After you've worked all day and some have been up since 4 o'clock or whatever, and things like that, and you come out, but man, don't miss it. You know, thank God for the church, but the connection is not the church. This is where we meet. The connection was God through prayer. And we need Him. And we need to go to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly